It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the last show before Christmas, Barbecue Bob. Here we are on the weekend. Holidays coming up. Got a lot of good food. Not so many good friends coming around, thanks to our COVID present that we all received back in March from Chi-Coms. But at the end of the day, that's not going to dampen my spirit, and I hope it doesn't dampen yours either. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
You are Jop, and thanks for joining us. We just spend a couple hours a week putting together stuff about barbecue and coming out on the weekend and trying to share some fun and some, I don't know, food tips, maybe man stories.
Rib tips or
maybe
food
family
tips?
Stories. And Jop's crazy little jokes like that. But it is the smokiest show on the radio, for crying out loud. And thanks for making an appointment to join us once a week. If you can't join us, go to thegrillinguys.com. And most of you know this, but in case you're new listeners, go to thegrillinguys.com. Look at the top right, and you'll see a headset, some big old-fashioned headset. And click on that, and you can sign up for our podcast. Now, a lot of you are podcasting all kinds of stuff. We have a whole bunch of people podcasting this show. I mean, maybe more than listen to it live now. I don't know the numbers, but a lot. And we appreciate that because it's a convenient way to hang out with us. So that being said, you can also give us a like on Mark Zuckerberg's flaky page called Facebook.com/TheGrillinGuys. We don't care if you like us there or not anymore. Anyway, that's it. I'm not going to rant about Zuckerberg.
Wow. All right, then. That's good. But, hey, I've been doing my holiday shopping, getting it done. Not quite done yet. Barbecue Bob, your present is on order. So, well, hopefully I'll get it before
well,
that.
Well, yours is in the car.
I understand.
You're going to have to open it before you leave, too, because I want to see the look on
all
your face.
All right. Very good. Well, you I just already like the box.
Close your ears, and I'll tell everybody what it is.
I already like the box because he wrapped it in an old-time Pabst box, and it wasn't long-neck bottle box. I mean, that box
yeah,
is
they were stubbies, weren't they?
Right. It's not that tall.
I know.
That's
my wife,
an old box,
yeah,
man.
Somebody gave my wife a gift in it. One of her girlfriends had storage in her basement, and she gave her a gift for my daughter Emily, who will be on in a couple segments. And I won't say what the gift is now, but I saw that box, and I said, oh, my gosh, that's what we used to pack our clothes in when we went to the UP as little kids.
Right.
And Maureen said, that's what we went on vacation with. It was like,
yeah. But it was the little round bottles with the short necks on them. That's because it's only, what, like maybe 7-8 inches tall.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we had the big tall ones.
Yeah, right. It could carry a week's worth of clothes.
2 weeks worth of Uper clothes right there.
But anyway, been doing a little bit of shopping. And if you've got somebody on your list, just thought I'd touch on a couple things. You know what? One of the things that I really enjoy grilling are kebabs. I love food with a handle. I always have. They're fun to eat. And whether you use the little bamboo skewers or you buy metal ones, but the metal ones last longer, obviously. The bamboo are one use. But they clean better, too, and you don't have to soak them in water. There's just a lot of advantages to them. So that would be a great gift to look at is a barbecue kebab set. Usually it's like 8 skewers. They might have a wooden handle on them so they don't get hot.
Yeah.
And you can shut the grill lid still and let them stay in there.
Yeah, you might have to put a flattened out beer can between the lid and the top.
Now, where would you get one of those when
just
you're grilling?
Chug one quick.
Right.
So
right.
Here's the deal. Mine are kind of old, but the dealio is don't put them in the dishwasher because You ruin the wood, and then soak that wood in oil after every use because they take up a lot of abuse from the grill heat.
Right.
And they tend to just slide right off. And the sword is good for decades, but the handle's what you're going to have to pay attention to.
And you want a wood handle. You do not want a metal handle because obviously it conducts the heat. You're going to burn yourself.
Well, or maybe you should just not outthink it and do it. Common, you're always the safe guy. So maybe just be safe and have some nice grilling gloves and use the metal ones, because then your handle will never crack and break off. You're going to end up turning metal sooner or later. Right, yeah.
And that's the thing, is some of them even have a little rack that gets them up off the grill a little bit, so they don't stick. That's kind of nice, too. It's just kind of a little frame with a couple slots in it, and the skewers sit in those side by side. If you want to go real fancy, they got them that are battery or electrical that actually rotate the skewers for you.
Now, I have some like that.
I think that that's a lot more to work than it really needs
to be. Well, I have that Brazilian one in my garage. I'm still dreaming of a way to hook that up to my Cajun.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jop, this show is all about helping small businesses this winter, this Christmas, stay alive.
Right.
I think if you own a small business right now, you might be headed towards either financial failure or just a very sorry Christmas for your kids.
Well, it depends on what industry you're in, but in the food industry, there's many people that are hurting.
A lot of industries are, because even if you're not a restaurant owner, you might be impacted by all these other people that can't get back to work. We're going to lose like 40% of our restaurants.
Right. Well, there's second-tier people like that, too. My stepson is getting married and is... which will be our new family, right? Her parents. And he owns a little bakery up in Greenville, Michigan called Han, H-A-A-N Bakery.
I go there all the time.
Right. And John and Maria are small business people. That's what they do. They own
a
bakery.
And downtown is dead right now.
That's right.
Has that impacted him?
Well, yeah. He had to shut down the retail side. And then, where all bakers make their money is serving restaurants. They're providing rolls and bread.
They're not buying
any. No, they're not right now. His business is way down.
So that's my point. We're going to talk to some small business owners here. In about 15 or 20 minutes, we're going to talk to a restaurant in the UP, and we're going to talk about their plight. But I want to talk about jobs and keeping our people fed right now. And one of the things that's happened is... for decades, I think our leaders have not paid attention to people like us. And we always thought that our party would take care of us, and we only can vote for our party, and oh, your party sucks. And I think we've been blinded, and I think we've all fallen for the shell game. In the meantime, these people, both sides, to a great extent, have sold us out to China. And here's an example. The pork industry... I just been doing some research. China bought Smithfield. And when I say China bought, they always say a billionaire. But there are no billionaires in China that don't have to give a majority of their stock to the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. Smithfield owns, check this out. Smithfield's a big brand. I used to love that bacon. I will not buy it. But here's a heartbreak. They own Eckrich. Mm-hmm. The freaking Chi-Coms own Eckrich. Farmland, you want to get kicked in the cojones again? Armor.
Right. All big American brands.
You ever go to Meijer and get a nice ham on sale because it says Cook's? Cook's ham. There's a bunch of them. John Morrell, Kretschmar, Curly's, Serrano, Margarita, and... I can't read that one. It looks like healthy something. So I'm telling you, if you're going to get bacon, buy it from your from your butcher, or get the Oscar Mayer.
So this is simple. This is simple. If you're listening to the Grilling Guys and you've ever listened to us before, is that you know that we're blessed to have a sponsor who's a butcher, but we don't just talk about him. We've talked to many butchers across the state.
There's a lot of great butchers.
There's a lot of great butchers.
You know who's a good one? Marendorf in Lansing. He's got two stores, and he's a friend of Sobeys.
Right. Oh, they're all friends. I mean, you're friends with people that are in your business and in your industry.
R&J Best Choice up in Houghton Lake.
Right.
They sponsor our show up there. What a wonderful butcher.
Right. But the point is this, is that these are small business people that are maybe doing well, maybe hurting. It really doesn't matter. But if we can support our neighbors will help us support each other. And that's the message that I want to get across here is these big national brands. You buy a lot of different food right now. For the next 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to buy a bunch of food. And if you get an opportunity, Don't go to a chain. Go to a local guy who's just trying to make a living and support his business. If it costs you a nickel more, so what? Just do it, because that's what this is all about, man. Let's support each other and make this as good a year as we possibly can. So coming up next, we are going to talk with some people, a good local business called Flat River Spirits. And I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Hey, this is Barbecue Bob. I'm on location in Lowell, Michigan at a very old building that's undergoing some major surgery, and there's a couple that I want you all to meet, because when you walk into this place, you'll see exactly why. And I'm talking about a business that used to be called the Lowell Beer Store, but now it's called Showboat Spirits. And Joel and Deanna are the proprietors, and they're here with me right now. And I just want to say welcome to the Grilling Guys.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yes.
Appreciate it, Bob.
Yeah, and what you guys have done here in terms of gutting this place and putting tons of racks in and just stacking beer and liquor and wine to the ceiling, this high ceiling. I see you even have a ladder in the corner, so you're using every little bit of space you can. Where did y'all come from?
Well, we spent the last 20 years in Denver, and a couple years we took off, 2 years we took off to the outside of Nashville area. But I was born and raised in Granville, but after college, we bugged out for work out west, and after all that, we turned around and due to parents getting old, we came back into town and ended up in Lowell, this side of Grand Rapids, and boy, just love it. Love it.
And Deanna, where are you from?
I grew up in South Dakota.
And
one of my favorite states. No, thank you. Yes. And then kind of moved all over the place and landed here.
So I have to buy some presents. And I can't say what they are because the people might actually podcast this or be listening live.
That's good.
But I had a list of bottles I wanted, and I'm finding way more than what was on my list. And I'm seeing things that I don't even see in Kentucky, and I'm a bourbon fan. And you just have, you know, I mean, how do you pick the bourbons?
Well, thank goodness we have the joy of reps coming in and drinking early in the morning and doing shots of different bourbons.
It's a job perk.
Yeah, yeah.
Only when you're the owner.
And I definitely don't like to put any new bourbons in that I don't feel are good. And then I'm a big bourbon snob in the aspects of neat.
So I've been watching you guys overhaul this place. You have a beer cave. you have just a beautiful display of not only the working man's domestic, but you've got the beer snob's delight well.
Yeah.
And everything in between. And that's really hard to do, but you're pulling it off. And it's just really hard to own a business these days, and especially in the climate we're in.
Yeah, the one thing with what you were talking about with the way we remodeled is so many liquor stores, you can't touch the bottle anymore. You know, it's behind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we...
I want to pick it up and read it.
I'm so purposely made that so every bottle in this place you can pick up and read, see where it came from, take your time, get online, see what reviews they had, and not feel pressured of going, you know, I'll take that one behind that, and then the sticker shock when it finally gets back to you, you know what I mean, over the
counter. You already picked it up, so you got
it. Right, yeah, exactly.
Now you feel kind of obligated. Hey. Oh, okay,
you touch that.
Yeah. I always pay $90 for a bottle.
Yeah. and like I say, we tried our hardest to get, you know, the whole Buffalo Trace family and the other type of things. We get them periodically in here. We don't go crazy with the raising the price, and it's just you know, one per person when they come in, but I also like to pull a lot of different ones, like this Joe Louis one.
That's cool.
Bourbon, you know, and this Western Reserve, just up and coming bourbons that are real tasty that just need to start getting into that well-known name.
So let's talk about your wines for a little bit, because we happen to have a sponsor called Fen Valley Winery as one of our sponsors, and we have become wine snobs since our affiliation with them. And now you're in a little town of Lowell. We'd call it a farm town. How's the wine going over?
Yeah, surprisingly well. Yeah, in fact, I've been really bumping up our top shelf because we've been getting more and more people have been wanting nicer wines, and so we're happy to oblige. We also have I've been working on the mid-range wines as well. But pretty much everything on the shelf I can stand by, that I feel confident that it's a decent wine and that it's priced, you know, appropriately.
I think you should do well on the bubblies this New Year's, because nobody's going out. They'll all have to have it at home.
Right, exactly.
And why go to the big box store when you can actually talk to somebody who's buying it here?
Right.
So tell us about how you pick your wines.
You know, I work really closely with the wine reps because they know their stuff really well. And so I feel pretty confident that they are giving me this. I've gotten to know them well, and the ones they lead me in good direction, and I'm very clear about what I want. And you know, we've really been bumping up our Michigan wines because there's a lot of people who want that. So, so my reps have been excellent in helping me because I can't obviously taste everything myself.
And when you left South Dakota, you were just a kid.
Yeah.
So you weren't really educated
much.
In wine.
No, that's
what
not.
City in South Dakota?
Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls.
It's not exactly wine country out there anyway.
No,
but so,
they drink a lot of wine.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. They don't make it, though.
Yeah, I've traveled the Dakotas both extensively, and... Mm-hmm. I think, luckily for the people that live there, they're underrated. So
right.
You won't get the invasion from New York.
Yeah, probably not.
They'll ruin it. Okay, let's talk about some beer.
Yeah, as far as what the two things is I'm a bourbon snob and a beer snob. And so I thought, living in Denver, we had the best microbrews out there. And coming back to Western Michigan...
Isn't it crazy?
There's no way. We are just throwing the hops in these grounds out here, and what they're producing are just fantastic. So we're trying to do, keep our staples for sure, but definitely give a lot of the smaller breweries, you know, the Frankenmuths, the Shorts, you know, the Black Rocks, the Keweenaws, and many, many other Michigan beers.
So if you just tuned in again, we are talking with Joel and Deanna from the Showboat Spirits, which is the new liquor store in West Michigan, and it's on the Flat River in a little town called Lowell, where I hang my hat. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have a real store here in town finally that does beer and wine. I mean, we've been long awaiting you.
Well, it's also nice, Bob, when especially with your whole grilling and all that lately, or the just doing what you do, Dessert beers have become huge.
Really?
And we've been trying to ramp that up, because, and what I mean by a dessert beer is, sometimes after somebody has a huge meal, if they don't want a big dessert afterwards, you know what I mean? Man, they can come in and get some of these high-end odd-side beers.
Those guys are crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they just must sit around and do crazy.
I love that place.
You know, like this one. It's an Imperial Stout in bourbon barrels, coffee, maple syrup, bacon, and pecans.
You know, I almost bought a bottle of that last time I was here. Yeah.
And we have multiple of those dessert beers that Oddside has been able. I've only been able to get one case, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And then they just single them out. It's like $1.60 a case.
Okay, and all this in the city of Lowell. Just if you want to take a trip, wherever you're at, look up Lowell on the map. There are two rivers come together here, the Flat and the Grand, and look for a really cool store with racks and racks and racks of glass, and that will be Showboat Spirits. Joel, and Deanna's already off working. She's got a customer, but thanks so much for joining us. Do you have a website yet?
Showboatspirits.com.
All right.
Or on Facebook, too.
And check them out on Facebook. Yes. Really nice couple. You want to have fun and buy some booze? This is your spot.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob, we're having fun today, and we're featuring some of our friends and acquaintances in the small business that we're just trying to, you know, give them a little shot in the arm, if we could, right?
Right. And, of course, if you're in Michigan, you've got a governor that's attacking you, so I pity anybody that's got to try and make it through this ridiculous, I'm not going to swear. Anyway, on the live line right now, we have a fella who's an advocate for a business up in the UP, and his name is Eric, and it's Cafe Rosetta from Calumet, Michigan.
You got it. How you doing today?
Hey, we're doing well, Eric. Thanks for making time for us. Tell us a little bit about the story that's going on in Calumet.
Well, I'll try to make it as quick as I can. We've got a single mother of six who picked herself up from the throes of welfare in an abusive situation, built the business up over nine years, has a successful little business going right now, and now our governor's trying to tear her down. And she just absolutely said it's not negotiable. We're staying open, and I've been down that path before. I don't want any part of being dependent on the government. And come what may, this is what we're doing. So I just couldn't be more proud of having her in our community.
Well, absolutely. And us as well. And thank you for making time to talk about it with us. So tell me a little bit about her business. What's she doing?
Well, she has a little cafe. It started out, again, I said 9 years ago. You know, this woman was flat on her back. And she picked it up. Her brother helped her out a little bit. They invested. They bought a building, started up a little cafe, bought a cafe out. And 3 months later, they start building it. It looks like it's going to go. It becomes a restaurant. A few more years later, they buy a new building. Now they've got 30 employees. Amy runs it, lock, stock, and barrel. And she's just been absolutely successful. And now she went through the first COVID thing, right? And that happened. And she's actually intolerant of a mask. She has a thyroid condition and arthritis, so she just can't wear one. And the health department tried to shut her down 6 months ago, said you can't be in this business because you have to wear a mask. She refused. She stayed open all summer, hasn't had a lick of problem from any of the COVID
didn't
stuff.
Kill
hasn't
all
got
our,
sick herself.
Didn't kill all our customers? So
she didn't kill any of the customers.
Exactly.
So,
Eric, her name is Amy Häkkinen?
Häkkinen, yeah.
Häkkinen.
Amy Häkkinen.
Okay, so what what the governor has maybe never run into is maybe a little Suomalainen, and she's experiencing what we call sisu, which is it's something that if you experience it, you'll walk away wide-eyed, and I think that bad Gretchen is experiencing a little sisu right now, and I want to bring more on her because all businesses need to be open. All businesses are essential, not just strip clubs and Walmart. We need restaurants to be able to be open.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you spend a few hours with Amy and got to know her backstory a little bit, she has the sweetest disposition everybody ever met. And when I kind of poked her on that, Amy, why don't you just go along? And she kind of looked at me and she says, no, it's not negotiable. And about in that tone of voice, but if you know anything about Finns, they tend to be very unemotional. But if you looked her in the eyes and when you saw that, Gretchen's got herself her hands full because this girl's not backing down. You talk about having a little bit of sisu, stubbornness. Yeah, we're trying to do it up here. And I would just encourage anybody that's doing
it
right now is focus. Well, open up, but focus on the local level. Focus.
Yep.
Don't worry about what Whitmer's doing. Just go to your local health department. Hold them accountable. We've been active on our county commissioner meetings. We've shut some things down now over on that front, and now we're working on the health department. We've got it appears like Whitmer has a strategy, not unlike, and I don't want to use too much of an analogy, but somebody that was running during World War II, where they would pick the people that it's very few people that can be that cold and callous to take somebody's living away from them. And it seems like Gretchen Whitmer goes out to all these areas, these health departments, and selects one little mini tyrant, a little mini me, if you will, and our local one is time. Your rule, and she just loves her situational power. She just loves being able to abuse people, and it's perverse. It's really almost perverse. And
there's a lot of stereotypes you could put on a person like that. They fit this category, and there's also a similarity to what Big Gretch is doing, and the loser governor of New York, and the creepy guy out in California. They pick these. Well, they're swing states, okay? They tried to cripple swing states, and we're in a fight with the same people on illegal voting machines right now, and that's what's got our country in a constitutional crisis. But tearing down a little business, that's wrong.
Well, and if I heard it right, Eric, it's not just her. She's got 30 employees. So it's not tearing down one family. It's tearing down 30 families, right? Because it's one of these things where – you know, the wait staff and the servers and the bussers and everybody rely on tips. And if the people aren't there enjoying the great service and the wonderful food, those people aren't getting paid either.
Yeah.
So it's just not
exactly.
It's just not Amy. I mean, that's the it's just so frustrating.
There's thousands of Amys.
No, I would suggest you do this. Anybody that's listening, go out to your local health department, find out who's there, and go to their Facebook page. Because we did this with this Tanya Rule because she's just like evil, right? So we dug through her Facebook page, and sure enough, we find some quotes in there where, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it's going to be reasonably accurate. Quote, people will adopt socialism when they understand that nobody is immune from financial uncertainty and need, end quote.
There you
Maybe
go.
I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
But she had that up on her post, and then the next thing it says is that a doctor, restaurant worker or dock worker is as important as a doctor. And I don't disagree with that. They don't get paid the same, but I don't disagree with it. And so my question to her is, why are you destroying 30 people that are doing entry-level jobs? What is in your body that causes you to do this
well,
and
they
enjoy
don't,
it?
They don't have to make sense, Eric. They work for government.
Well, precisely. And so we've banded together. In fact, we got a meeting coming up tonight. It's somewhat clandestine, but we've got about 150. I'm estimating there's going to be more tonight. And we're about to change that. So we're out to absolutely, if we can remove Tanya Rule from the health department, she's kind of like the focal point simply because she's willing to do these executive orders. And they are unconstitutional.
Yep.
They will lose in court.
So how can people get behind you all on social media?
Get behind, there's Give, Send, Go. And it's like GoFundMe, and we may even start up a GoFundMe site, but it's called Give, Send, Go. Look for Amy and Jake. You'll find it there. Get us some capital. We've raised about $50,000. Somebody in the neighborhood did it for, set this up. And we anticipate the fight's going to be $100,000, $130,000 before it's all done. She's been able to retain David Coleman. David Coleman represented America's Barber, Carl Mankey. Anybody in Michigan recognize that name?
Our hero.
Yeah, so got it. We got the best. We got the best behind Amy, and what we need more than anything is capital. So anybody that has a little extra that can go over there and donate, boy, we'd appreciate it, and I promise you, back in a fighter.
So, Eric, thanks so much for your American spirit with that little touch of Finn. And tell Amy we're behind her, and I want everybody to look up the Cafe Rosetta in Calumet, Michigan. Get behind them, and let's give them some help, and let's support her morally with prayer and everything, because
she's fighting for much more than just her.
She's fighting
place.
For you.
And we need to get every other little restaurant open there. Open your doors. If
they
all open at once, they can't hit us, and that's the problem we've got is not enough people are opening. If you open enough, in fact, I was in the county commissioner's meeting, and I know I got to go, but they, to a person, says that, you know, if just everybody opened up, we wouldn't have this problem, because we wouldn't even be talking about it. You couldn't do anything. So I just encourage every small business to open up, ignore the mandates, start doing social distancing with a handshake and a hug.
Okay, Eric, all business is essential. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you. All Take
right.
care.
Coming up next, it's the holiday season and a time for a little wine, and we're going back to our guy, Brian Lesprince from Fenn Valley. He's going to tell you what goes best with that holiday food. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob, it's the holiday spirit. I don't care if you can have people over or not. I'm going to be making a bunch of really good food. And when you have good food, what do you need with it? You need good wine.
Exactly.
Right? And we happen to know a guy who runs a winery that is at the top of my list of really wonderful varietals. And we're going to talk to him a little bit. It's Brian Lesprince from Fenn Valley Winery down in Fennville, Michigan. And, Brian, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. You're always too kind with your introductions, so I appreciate it. I got to get my big head through the door later today, though.
Well, it's so easy to do because I've told this story 10 times at least, but you're one of the first sponsors to pull alongside the Grilling Guys and help us out.
Well, we love it. I mean, so often I think people don't think grill and wine, but you both have helped kind of break that barrier, and I think there's a lot of good opportunities there. You know, the acidity of wine and just the different styles that we make, especially in Michigan, I think really lend themselves well to grilled foods. And I'm a avid griller myself, and I'm a winemaker, so I certainly combine the two and have had pretty good success and a lot of fun.
Brian, I'm wondering if our listeners, if they're relatively new, they haven't heard your voice before. We've had you on a lot of times, but can you just give them an idea of the scope of your operation? Because winemaker brings a lot of things to mind, and one of them isn't probably one of your scope. So if you could just enlighten us a little bit about your operation.
Well, you know, it's a good, fair question. I think, you know, we are kind of nestled here south of Grand Rapids, and even driving up to the facility can be sort of difficult to gain perspective because a lot of our facility is actually built into the ground to give ourselves natural temperature control for the production facility. So even if you drive out here, sometimes people don't realize quite what we do. But yeah, we'll do about 60,000 cases this year in 2020 and probably more next year. And then a whole pile of hard cider as well. So it kind of puts us in easily in that top five in Michigan as far as volume is concerned. But, you know, at the end of the day, that allows us to have a few more fancy toys, which is nice, nice for the winemaking team. But really, wine itself, from in terms of making it, you know, the process is actually pretty straightforward in terms of you know, taking grape juice and adding yeast and letting the yeast convert that to sugar, whether you're doing that in a 5-gallon carboy or a 5,000-gallon jacketed stainless steel fermenter, the actual, you know, chemistry is fairly similar. But when you get to our size, you got to layer in a lot of other things that relate more to quality control, consistency. So you got fancy lab equipment to monitor things from, you know, right out in the vineyards where we're monitoring the fruit ripeness to, you know, monitoring how the wines are aging in barrels, bottles, tanks, etc. And then again, fancier tools to clean up the wine and cider, because gravity does a pretty good job of cleaning up beverages, but it's kind of slow sometimes. So we have to throw some fancy, largely European-made winemaking equipment at the thing to make it go a little faster and a little more consistently.
So you got to filter out some of the solids.
Yeah, I mean, in the grape skins, when we press, a lot of that stuff gets kind of through. Also, there's a lot of yeast left over, because when the yeast is done eating sugar, it just essentially dies, and so you got to, and then it starts to break down.
So you got a carcass.
You got, well, yeah, sort, I guess. Yeah, so, it's a single cell organism, so we're not, you know, it's not quite the same, but yeah, we got to get that out, and you know, but you wanted to do it carefully, because it's, you know, we have a saying in wine that you can't take out bad without taking out some good, and so.
So what
you
can you
be
do
gentle.
With all that stuff you bring out? Can you reuse it? Is there a fertilizer or cow food or dog food or cat food? Can you get your cat?
Have you heard
a little...
of drunken hog?
Right. Well, we have done all of the above, believe it or not. You know, waste management is a challenge for any industrial processing facility, and we're no exception. However. you know, we do a couple things. One, a new product we developed last year, Matt, our winemaker, did an awesome job developing a piquette, which is a style of wine that harkens back to Europe, where the farmhands would take the pressings, the skins, and rehydrate them and press them a second time.
Nice.
To get a low alcohol product that they could consume while at work. And while we don't do a lot of at-work consumption, it's a really nice, you know, low-alcohol, refreshing product to grab on a hot afternoon by the grill or something. So that's one way we can make more products.
Sort of the chitlins of the vineyard.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So
yeah, there you go.
Can people come out there still with all these shutdowns and everything and pick wine up?
Yeah, you know, that's been a common question, and I think sometimes we in the industry take for granted that, you know, we know the rules that have always, they've been sort of evolving through the year. But yeah, we're open for carryout, and we've been more or less open for carryout all along. We did a lot of outdoor service this year, and we do that anyway. Michiganders don't need a pandemic to want to be outside.
Right.
So that was, you know, that was a great option for people. We had beautiful weather this year, which not only helps the vineyards thrive, but also makes for enjoying the vineyards that much better. But yeah, we do carry out right now. We actually, you know, we've got brave people. It gets above about 38 degrees, and they're coming out to have a glass of wine on the patio still.
Great.
You know, as a skier, I'm a skier guy, so what I always say, there's no bad weather, just bad apparel. And
I love it.
Wine sales have been good during the pandemic. I think the next big thing that's going to be good is, you know, winter coats, because everyone's moving their stuff outside. Oh, think about it. You guys go to tailgate parties in November, stand out there freezing our butts off.
Yeah,
and we're complaining about standing outside right now. I mean, it's not so bad.
So, Brian, we got a couple minutes left. If I'm going to make that wonderful Christmas prime rib that I'm going to make, give me the wine that needs to go with that.
You know, prime ribs, I love prime rib, first of all. So I'm coming over after COVID or fax me some or whatever you got to do.
Right.
But. You know, that's typically a pretty big cut of meat. You're going to throw probably a pretty good amount of spice at that, especially on the crust. So you're going to want a red that's got a little bit of a backbone to it. So I'd go with something based on Bordeaux grapes. So in our case, that'd be like a Meritage, which is a blend of Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, or Merlot, or any of those varietals on their own. You really want some of that structure that those bigger, bolder red wines have with something that's got that much structure to it as food. But, you know, you could also layer in around it, you know, some whites or some rosés, you know, as part of the appetizer course or whatever you're doing.
Perfect. Brian Lesperance, Fenn Valley Winery, Fennville, Michigan, one of our oldest sponsors. We love you, man, and can't wait to see you. Everybody, if you want to get some wine for a gift, run out there and get a case because it's Michigan's best. We'll talk to you again soon, brother.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good day.
All right. We're going to bring this train to the station. It's Bob's daughter, Emily, the one that really knows how to cook in the family, and she's going to put a picking table together for us. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
All right, and for the final segment of the Grillin' Guys, we're going to go to my oldest daughter. She's getting really old, and her husband's going to turn, like, really old over the weekend. Emily Treweiler, who's in Knoxville, Tennessee, and hopefully will be up here in the snow country pretty soon. Hi, Em.
Hi.
Hey, Joplin, I want you to do your pick table real quick because you wow the crowd with a presentation. So tell us what to do to impress the folk, our family and friends for Christmas.
Yeah, it's really easy because most of it is stuff in your fridge that you don't have to cook or make ahead of time, and you can just throw it out on a platter. So if you're doing a charcuterie board, what I like to do is do 2 to 3 meats. So you can do a sopressata, a prosciutto, a salami, just pick your favorites. For the cheese, I'll usually do a soft cheese, so that's a brie or a goat cheese. I like to put a funky cheese in there, like a blue or a roquefort or a Stilton. And then a hard cheese, so you can do Manchego or a sharp cheddar. And then you just fill it in with stuff from your fridge. So you can add a little jar of honey. You can do some jams, nuts, olives, dried and fresh fruit, vegetables. And you just kind of make a long platter out of it. You could do a grazing table if you want, if you have more people. But I know this holiday season, a lot of us are just, you know, with immediate family. So it's great to just have something thrown out on a board that people can pick at, and it can sit at room temperature for a couple hours, and you don't have to cook it, which is the best part.
Mm, man, that sounds wonderful. Now, what I didn't hear there, Em, is breads. Do you use any kind of crackers or breads or anything on these, or is it
definitely? Okay. I like to do a variety, like the cheeses. So, throw a loaf of French bread on there with some cut, you know, like a knife to cut it with. You can throw in some crackers. You can get some naan bread or Mediterranean. You can add pita chips, anything to dip in.
The little loaves of rye slices.
Yeah.
Those are great too. And then any dips that you have, it's a great way to use up little leftover dips from your fridge that everyone drops off at your house. Put them in containers, put a little hummus out, and that way anyone can pick and choose what they want. Everyone can find something that they like on these boards.
I wondered if you had a little advice for something else you're really good at, and that's that dip you make with cheese.
Ooh, which one?
Pimento.
Oh, pimento cheese, since I moved to the South, they have it at every restaurant here, and it's just, you get any type of hard cheddar. So I like to use a white and a yellow hard cheddar. You process that up with some mayo, some cream cheese, and then any spices that you want. So I like to use pickled jalapenos or banana peppers. Throw that in a container, and that's an easy dish to throw out at any... I mean, I throw them in mason jars, and you basically have a dish to pass wherever you go.
So my question is, why is it called pimento cheese if there's no pimentos in it?
Well, there are pimentos in there, but a lot of times you can't find them at grocery stores, so you can use little... you know, red peppers if you want.
Very good. Always great to hear your voice. I hope I get a chance to see you while you're up here. I know we're all trying to be COVID appropriate, but I may darken your door anyway just to stop by and say hi for a minute. So take care, safe travels, and we'll see you soon,
Emily. Do you like this music?
I love it.
Emily Treweiler, can't wait to see you, honey.
All right, bye, guys. Right,
bye.
All right, coming up next, we're out of here. That's what's coming up next. We are brought this train to a station, and we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. The next time we talk to you will be after the Christmas holiday. We hope you and yours have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll talk with you before the new year.
Merry Christmas.